Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we welcome our host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru.
Good evening, good evening. This is Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru, and welcome to another episode of the Entrepreneur's Lounge. Now, typically, we think of people's bios, and no matter how accomplished they are, they're a little boring. There's a long list of details, and if they're not carefully crafted, you can make listeners go to sleep. But my next featured guest is anything but boring. The award-winning entrepreneur, Zach Miller, even his headshots command your attention as they're often animated, and many actually feature him with the wrestling championship belt. We'll ask him about that in a moment. But Zach Miller started his first business at the age of 10, since he has spent decades since then helping other people successfully start, grow, and dominate their businesses through his company, Hatch. And Zach has used the skills detailed in his book titled Anomaly, How to Finally Stand Out from the Crowd, to land an interview with Shark Tank's Damon John, be chosen as the host of a business TV show on ABC, talk business at the White House, get featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, and even wow the audience at TEDx. He also raised money for the team that started the Weather Channel. And you can check Zach out at his podcast, Zach Miller Says. So I'd like you to please help me in welcoming to this episode of the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show, Zach Miller himself. And Zach, how are you doing on this fine day?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for all the claps, people. That is so joyful. so kind and appreciate it. Hey, I got it. After that, kind and welcoming introduction, I feel like I gotta spread the joy quickly, right?
Exactly. I mean, we expect nothing else from the world champion that walks around with this wrestling championship belt, you know. So I want to ask you, what's the deal with your headshots with the belt? Yes, it does. So why do you have this belt? What's the story behind that?
So I got the belt from a really close friend who I had met at an open house of mine. His name is Xerxes Nabong. He owns a couple of escape rooms where I live. And he, I guess it just hit it off. And he was like, hey, like, I want to give you this gift since you're the small business champion and you help people kind of become champions. I know that you like WWE. I also like WWE. Here's this championship belt. And it's kind of like been this opportunity for me to not only, I guess, you know, be different, but also promote others and bring the belts around, and it's been fun. And what I realized is when you scroll through any kind of social feed or you're speaking at an event, every headshot looks the same, like literally right. The same. It's just some boring smiles in person dressed to the nines, and nothing stands out. And I was like, I'm going to start adding the belt to my headshot. And so I basically just take the belt and drape it over my shoulder. And that's one of them. And then I have another one where I'm in like a big arcade, not like a video game arcade, but like an old historic arcade, so like high arches and stuff like that. And just me with my hands out to the left and to the right as far as I can. And it's just to be different, right? It's you have to grab someone's attention. And it's funny, I actually am speaking at an event in a few months, and they didn't use the headshot that I gave them. And so recently I had to reach out and be like, hey, that's not the image that I gave you. Please remove it. And so because it basically is a picture from me years ago, like 7-8 years ago. And I'm actually dressed up too much to what I normally would dress up with. And wow. I don't like that, and I don't want that to be associated with my brand, even though it sits there in internet land. So I kindly was like, hey, I'm going to need you to re-upload a different picture, the ones that I sent, one of the ones that I sent you. And so sometimes you gotta do that. You gotta make sure that the image that you portray is the one that you want people to see.
And, you know, I want to ask you about that because I've given them a very short, condensed version of your bio, your impressive portfolio. But, you know, people are often encouraged to conform, even right down to the headshots. You need to wear that typical black and navy blue and, you know, no wild colors. Have your face turned this way, and you just blend in. So how do you match having your own personality, standing out, but also being taken serious?
Well, I think the first thing you have to realize is if you want to be seen, you have to constantly be doing things to be seen. And I'm not saying like be an eyesore, put meat on yourself like Lady Gaga. Like I'm not
right.
saying that. Like it can be that if you want, but we see 5,000 different ads every single day. That's a lot. So that's a lot of advertising that we see, you know, every 24 hours. And
exactly.
At the end of a week, that's 35,000 different ads that we've seen. And so are you going to be one of them, or are you going to be one of the 35,000 others that no one talks about? And so I think you have to look at it consciously and be like, hey, if I don't do something to be seen, I will blend in with everyone else and I will never be seen. And I think so many people have amazing businesses. So many people have amazing brands and messages that they should get across. However, they don't put any emphasis on being seen, and that business never takes off, or whatever they are never takes off, because they didn't consciously think, oh, just because I have this great thing doesn't mean that I'm going to be seen. That's not true. You have to literally do whatever you can to be seen in like a legal, safe kind of way. Right. And so think about that. Every day you see 5,000 different ads. That means it's you versus 4,999 other people each and every day.
Exactly.
And so at some point you recognize that I'm turning the channel. Right. So I used to work in TV news, and they would change the channel every 6 seconds. People change the channel every six seconds. So think about how you scroll on Facebook or any kind of social site. Think about how you are going to Netflix trying to figure out what you want to watch or what video on YouTube you want to see next. Those are all forms of advertisement. What's going to make you stop? And if you don't do something to get people's attention, guess what? Your amazing message, they're never going to see.
You know, that's so true. And I relate that, you know, as a book publisher. You know, you have to think about with every client I instruct them. Your book, if it is standing out there on the bookshelf, I mean, if it's like front and center and there's 20 books in a row with yours, would I notice it? I mean, yeah, you might be, you know, I love this color, I love this title, but what stops if that person's walking by? Is there anything about your book that's different from the rest where they're actually going to stop by and want to know more? It could be a great message. It's great information on the back cover, whatever. But if you can't get their attention as they're just walking by, it sits there on the shelf. And someone that has mastered how to stand out, they got it. But with you, I mean, you are the same Zach Miller that shows up to, like, professional events in blue jeans and, like, a black T-shirt while everybody else is in a shirt and a tie. So you actually stand out.
So I started doing that kind of intentionally, not kind of intentionally. And so
okay.
I used to dress like everyone else, and I didn't really, I just blended in with everyone else basically. And one day I can't remember the exact story, this is like 10 years ago, but either I was running late or somehow I just was like, I'm not doing this today. Like, I'm not going to conform. I'm not going to be like everyone else. I'm just going to wear what I want to wear. People were like, whoa, who is this kid? And I was like, wait. Before, no one wanted to talk to me. Now everyone wants to look at me. This is interesting. And so I just started realizing that the more that I was different, the more people would remember me, which is really important, and the more people would talk about me. And so I host a TV show, a business show on ABC, and I wear jeans and a T-shirt. And people are like, why don't you wear a suit? And I go, thank you for your comments. I appreciate it. but like, you're doing exactly what I want you to do. You're talking about me.
Right.
That, and it worked. And so they're like, huh, I guess you're right. And I said, yes, I wrote the book on how to stand out. So like, you cannot, it's like a cop out. It's like selling out. Right. And so like, when I got this TV show, I think everyone expects, okay, you're on a TV show, you wear a suit, you dress to the nines. And it was like, I had to hustle my way to get on the show anyway, because I had to convince the person to think that I was a good fit, even though I probably could check off every single box. And then I was like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm not going to dress like everyone else that's ever been on a TV show, everyone else that's ever been a TV anchor or anything like that. And a lot of people would have never done that. Most people
would
have conformed. Most people would have been like, all right, I'm gonna change who I am. And it's like, you get this avenue where you can have 25,000 more people a week see you, and now you're going to change who you are because you got this opportunity. No, you have to stick to who you are. And so people hate it. People love it. I don't really care. Like, it's my brand, and I'm going to stick to who I am for as long as possible. Like, right now I'm wearing a Ninja Turtle t-shirt. I mean, that's great.
Of course you are. Because for our listeners that don't know, if you look up Zach Miller on LinkedIn, and that is Zach with a K, not an H, that's his byline, his LinkedIn byline, and I have it right here. I thought it was hilarious. It says, I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, plus rode 157 different roller coasters, plus triathlete. That's his description on LinkedIn, and apparently it works for you.
Well, what does every other LinkedIn say? I work for this company, so-and-so whatever at this company, so blah, 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 looking for this, you know, college graduate looking for a first job, I look weak, I look like everyone else, blah, 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 blah. I just find that, like, when you meet someone for the first time or you're meeting with people, like, no one really wants to talk about work in that kind of way. It's better to, in my opinion, to talk about things that are more personal, and so those are three things that are personal to me. Like, I grew up watching the Turtle movies. I think they're great. You know, I don't necessarily watch them now. Occasionally I might turn on the little TMNT, you know, if it's on. But in high school, like, roller coasters really got big into, I got really big into. And when I first went to college, that's what I wanted to do, was to design roller coasters. And so I used to drive around the country and been on different roller coasters all over. I mean, 157, that's a lot of different parks. It's probably 50, 60 parks maybe. And then the thing that I've been doing a lot recently is I guess I've become a triathlete, where I trained to do an Ironman race a few weeks ago. And if you notice on that byline, there's actually an asterisk at the end of triathlete. And that's kind of a joke, because at the Ironman race I did a few weeks ago, they canceled the swim. And so I technically put the asterisk in there, kind of making a joke at like the steroid era in baseball, or like whenever there's like asterisk or something like that. It's just like, yes, I know how to swim and all that stuff, but it's kind of a joke too, right? It's kind of fun. It's like, hey, if you listen
oh,
to the podcast and talk about all these things, have fun. Like we live once, right? So like, enjoy your time. And if someone doesn't like, if my byline says this, then I don't really want to work with them. I really don't want to be friends with them, right? If people are worrying that I wrote about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on my LinkedIn, cool. Like, keep scrolling and find something else that you like. Like, I'm not going to waste my time on someone that is worrying or complaining that Zach Miller's byline says something that doesn't look like theirs. Whatever.
Exactly. But it stands out for all the right reasons. And I am going to get into the book, because there's so many juicy nuggets in here that are so important. But first, I want to let our listeners know that you actually started entrepreneurship at the age of 10. Out of curiosity, what was that first business?
What do you think it was?
I don't want to do the typical what I think it was. Well, I'll give two, because it's the typical two. And I'm pretty sure it's not the first one, because you're a guy, but it still happens. So I don't want to be sexist. It was either a lemonade stand, or you probably did yard work.
Okay, so it's the second one. I thought you were going to say I was like a babysitter.
Okay, see,
no,
I
like,
told
that's
you.
great.
No.
Yeah, so my first career, I guess, was a company I called A Guy in a Rake. And my grandma gave me $100 on, I think, my 10th birthday, I guess. And instead of putting that money in the bank, my family was very blue collar growing up, and I wanted to live a little, a different lifestyle. I wanted more candy and video games, and I decided that, hey, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to buy a lawnmower, and I'm going to go door to door on the people in my street, in my community, and say, hey, like, your lawn, your grass is long. Can I mow it? And I did that for a few years. And I think business is kind of the same, right? Like when you see someone with a problem, that's the lawn in this case, right? It looks like their lawn needs to be manicured. You knock on the door, you say hello, and you see if they're interested. It shouldn't be much more difficult than that, right? Like if you want action to happen,
you need
to take that action.
Exactly.
Right? So that's what I did. That's what I did. I did that for a while. And, you know, it's interesting. I always think, like, if I was to start a different business now, what would it be? And maybe it would be that. Maybe I would go back to those roots. It's like, hey, like, people are paying more money now to get their lawn mowed. And it's like, you make like $100 for a lawn. It's like, damn, like, maybe I should do that. That would be fun.
You don't need any more. You don't need any more jobs. So, yeah. But you know what? Now that's a good idea because they are paying more than ever. Okay, let me stop that. But it just goes to show you what goes on in the mind of a child and our children, whether it's our natural children, our children in the community, or what have you, they're always watching. So that $100 birthday gift, which you totally could have went and blew on candy and video games or whatever, you actually turned into a business.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I didn't even realize until I got back into my new business career after kind of college and going, having my first kind of job, if you will. And I was like, oh, wait, I've kind of done this before. And it's like, well,
exactly.
What do I do? It's like, wait, I got an investment, basically. With that investment, I bought this thing called a lawnmower. I mowed some lawns.
Uh-huh.
Then I had to reinvest money into the company because I had to buy like a weed whacker and all this other stuff. And it's like, you want more clients? You go knock on more doors. And then another thing that's interesting is I remember as I grew as a company, and it was always just me, but as I grew, my clients would be like, hey, like, can you do this other service for me as well? Where like they wanted me to do more stuff in their yards. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And you just don't think about those things. We don't think about the low hanging fruit enough. Right? You don't always have to find new clients. Oftentimes the clients that you have are looking for more services from you, but you don't ask them for more.
Good tidbit there.
Right.
I hope the listeners caught that.
Don't spend money on things that you already have.
That. Exactly.
Yeah, listeners.
And if you have picked up your copy of Anomaly, which, of course, when you go to our page, you'll be able to see all the links for that, then you would know that's one of the things he says in the book. And we're going to have a juicy giveaway at the end that pertains to this book. So I want to get into this because I think it's pretty cool. You know, of course, you got the name Anomaly, How to Finally Stand Out from the Crowd. But you promise that you're offering proven now. I'm going to put an emphasis on proven, low cost, and no-cost solutions that are easy to implement to take one's business and brand to the level that he or she desires. Could it really be that easy and entrepreneurs have been missing this all along?
Yeah. But I think you have to, like, make a conscious effort to realize that it's not just about spending money on ads just to run ads, right? It's about being seen. Right. And so that doesn't always mean that you have to spend a bunch of money. Right. And so I think we look at big companies and you say, oh, what is Apple doing? What is Facebook doing? What is Chick-fil-A doing? These are billion-dollar brands. There's things that you can dissect from what they're doing and do yourself. And so think about what Chick-fil-A really does. right? Chick-fil-A and McDonald's sell the exact same products. Now, I know people listening are going to say, that's not true, Zach. That's not true. Yes, it is. They sell a sandwich of fries and a drink. They're basically the same price. One of them you love going to. One of them you can't stand going to.
Right.
The difference, my opinion, is customer service. Right. And so, again, we focus so much on building these processes, these businesses, these brands, but we don't actually focus on being seen in ways that are super easy. And so I one of my favorite chapters, I think it's chapter 17. Let's see if I'm right. Is it chapter 17? Yes. Chapter 17,
the
50-10 challenge. So the 50-10 challenge is a technique that I created 5 years ago or so. And it was a Friday night. I'm trying to think of what that song is. It was a Friday night. No, it's not going to work. Now I'm going to be thinking about that all day. Like, what song is that Friday night song? No.
I have another song in my head that says Friday night, and it's not that.
Well, there you go. Well, we'll be searching for it later. So it was a Friday night. I was like, I want to find some new clients. What can I do to offer them something that I can learn about them very quickly, help them, and that's it. And I was thinking like, oh, it's kind of like a doctor's visit where you go to the doctor, you talk to them for 10 minutes, and that's it. Maybe they fix you. Maybe there's something else to be done, but really it's just a checkup, a visit. And I was like, how could I have like 50 calls with people, 10 minutes long, and as quick as possible, like a day or two? And I did that. And what was so interesting is so many people go, 10 minutes, that's not a lot of time. And I'm like, yeah, because we waste a lot of time on garbage, on small talk that's unnecessary. And so when I put people through the process, I was like, okay, what's your name? What's the contact information that I'm going to talk to you at? And what's the problem that you're going through? What's the business issue that you want to talk about? And so, and then I would have, I think I use a tool called Calendly, which is Calend with ly.com. And I would do a bunch of 10-minute schedules back to back to back to back to back. And because there was no small talk in there, I got immediately into the grunt of the conversation, the important stuff. And when you're not talking about garbage, like what's the weather like, how was your weekend, you can really get a lot more done. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So that went really well. And then afterwards, obviously I played this game where I've helped them and they're like, oh, this is interesting. This person's helped me. Maybe they can help me more. What services do they have that I could buy from them? And they kind of go on their own and do that. And so I have this client, this friend, Steven Reinstein, and I remember him 2015, 2016 timeframe. He was launching a new company called Market Muscles, and he launched it, and crickets, literally crickets. Like, no one bought it. He had spent all this time building it, and I remember it was like 11:30 at night. I don't know why things happen late at night. He texted me, and he's like, hey, I launched this thing, and no one cares. And I was like, yeah, of course they don't. They don't trust you. They don't know who you are. You have something that's valuable to them, but they don't know you yet. You haven't spent any time helping them. Here's what I think you should do, and do some sort of 50-10 challenge. So find a bunch of people in these groups. So you're a part of Facebook groups. You're a part of forums all over the internet. Find these people that you're already friends with, that you already have had, that you already see them on these forums, and ask them if you can have a 10-minute call with them to help them with some sort of challenge that they're going through. Literally within 3 months, he started getting clients because of that. This is all free, by the way. It takes time, sure, but it's free just by these conversations. He literally, this past year, 2019, had his first Market Muscles marketing conference. I emceed it. There was 100 different martial arts school owners there. And he has like 500 or 600 of these schools now that pay him several hundred dollars a month. And he's, I think, going to do like $2 million this year. 2 years ago, he was making nothing. Now here he is making millions of dollars And what people don't realize is that if you hit the $1 million mark as a business, you're part of the 4%. 96%
right.
of businesses never get to $1 million. So here he is. He's like, he has this great product, like most of us do. You have this great thing that people should know about. But we don't invest in being seen. We don't invest in our clients. We don't invest in our prospects by helping them a little bit. And by helping them a little bit, they get this thought like, oh, maybe they can be the right fit. And that's the trigger point that gets them to look a little deeper and then hopefully hire you. And so I love telling that story because it's near and dear to me, and it's using a process that I created, the 50-10 challenge, which anyone can do, like starting today. You know, find the people that you want to talk to, go do it through forums, find people that are clearly having issues. It's all over the internet, right? Talk to them about it, do it in 10 minutes, and call it a day. That's it. You don't sell your product at the end of it, because that's what most people do. Most people think that they then
right.
need to be like, oh, buy my thing. It's like, no, hold on. Just help them. They will remember you. I promise. Then,
good advice.
As things go by, and hopefully you're creating good content, they will see it. They will get nosy. They will go to your website. They will click service. They will click buy now, and they will buy your thing. It happens all the time.
And, you know, that's the crazy thing when you read the book. I know listeners are just listening to this 50-10 challenge, like right here, and just what you just said in these past few minutes is just blowing their mind. So this is something they can implement. But if you actually, or I won't say if you actually, when you actually buy the book, the stories, the examples he just said, the layout of how you do that, it's all in here, and then some. As a matter of fact, Anomaly is broken up into three parts. And the first of those is understanding the sales funnel, where he walks you through what that means. And you did a great job, Zach, of actually defining these things, because sometimes books, when they're sharing certain expertise, they assume that you have a certain level of understanding, but Zach does not. Zach will explain it to you. It's in terms that anyone can understand, and then he actually walks you through and shows you how to do it. So it's broken up in three parts. The first is understanding the sales funnel, and you address that before you even address the second part, which is becoming the anomaly. So are you saying that if entrepreneurs don't have a sales funnel, they cannot become the anomaly?
What I want people to grasp from this concept is that when you meet someone for the first time or they hear about your brand for the first time, it's very unlikely that they're going to buy from you, and it's a process. And so as long as they understand that, yes,
mm-hmm.
there's outliers in there where people will immediately call you, sure. But that's very, very rare, right? And so realizing that it's a game, right? That's what I really want people to get from the sales funnel, that it takes 5 to 7 positive interactions with someone to take them from the first time they visited you, they learned about you, whatever, to actually converting into some sort of client. What's crazy in there is if they have any kind of negative experience with you, it takes 35 positive interactions to get back to that first step. I mean, 35 positive interactions to get back to that step. I mean, think about that. If you don't like
yeah.
something that you see, do you think you're going to – if you watch a movie one time and you don't like it, you might try and watch that a second time. But do you think you're
no.
going to get that thing 35 more times? No.
No, I'm not.
You're not going to get through it. And so – you're not, right? And so what I really want people to grasp from the sales funnel part of it is, hey, like, numbers don't lie. Data doesn't lie. People don't buy. You don't hit a home run on your first date, right? Please
exactly.
play the game. If you play the game, your numbers will be stronger. Your probability of winning that new business will be stronger, because when you do go for the kill, when you do go for that home run, when you do go for the win, you will have such a compelling case that they will be like, absolutely. And so that's, I think people just need to have a plan and a strategy in place that they understand that, hey, if I really want to win this business, it's going to take a couple steps, and I need to invest in all of that, not just showing up to a networking event and giving them a business card and saying, buy my damn thing.
And while you say that, that's another point. I wanted to bring out. Because you say that when readers have this book, you're telling them that when you meet someone the first time, do not ask, what do you do? And I cannot tell you how many professionals, business organizations, that's what they want you to do. You lean in and you do the handshake and you ask them, what do they do? You make it all about them. So if we're not supposed to ask, what do you do? What type of questions should you ask?
Well, going back to why I don't think you should do that is it's hard to articulate to the right person at the right time exactly what you do. And so you have to hopefully spit out your elevator game perfectly, which most people don't do. Most people don't want to do. And then you also have to make sure that the keywords that you're using to describe your said career actually match with something that someone else knows. Instead, I think you should try and build relationships. Instead, I think you should be trying to build relationships. The thing that I like to ask is, what are you watching on Netflix?
Yeah.
The reason I do that is because, Stranger Things season 3 just happened a week ago, basically. A lot of people just watched that. So 139 million Netflix subscribers out there, right? And people are binging Netflix. And I think it's something
Absolutely.
Like 11 hour, adults consume 11 hours of media content a day. So to me,
That's
if you put all those things together, if you put all those things together and you want to actually build a relationship with someone, you should talk to them about things that they like. I get it. Not everyone wants to talk about Netflix. Okay, so talk about something unique about them, right? Where are they going on vacation? What's their favorite vacation? The style of clothes that they're wearing, talk about that. Maybe their earrings. Find something personal about them and invest in that relationship, right? It goes back to the conversation with the championship belt. Xerxes and I very quickly learned that we both liked wrestling, and that's what we talked about. And we have a relationship
right.
with that. And we've both helped each other make a lot of money, and not from each other, by the way, but because we, not directly from each other, but indirectly from introductions and things like that. I know what he does. He knows what I do. But because we have a true relationship out of that, that's where we spend all of our time, is talking about those things that genuinely we enjoy. And so I think we're taught incredibly wrong things across the board. And I think
yes.
it's by people who don't really know what they're talking about. And it frustrates me because we're better than just asking the same questions as everyone else, right? And a lot of people hate the way one question, the what are you watching on Netflix question.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, but you're going to talk to this person, you're going to talk to 10 people today at this Netflix or at this networking event. Almost all of them you will forget. Almost all of them will have
sure.
nothing memorable to talk about, right? So do you want to be the one that's remembered at the end of that event, or do you want to blend in and be camouflaged with everyone else? And when I start saying it that way, they're like, oh, that's interesting. You're right. Yeah, of course. I've experienced these things. Like, I don't just come out with these things and be like, oh, you should ask these people this. No, you should do it because you want people to remember you. And if you say, oh, I'm a financial advisor. Oh, I sell retail at XYZ shop. Oh, I'm a developer at whatever. Whatever. No one really cares about that. Let's invest in real relationships. And I think that's what's key.
I love it. And, I could talk about this book forever. I admit that I'm biased.
Thank you. Please do.
It's awesome. I mean, honestly, there's, and I don't care what level of business owner you are, whether you're aspiring to be an entrepreneur or you already are. I mean, there's so much in here, from finding your niche, the sales funnel, as I mentioned, the follow-up, even, to the point of applying for awards. So there's, like, really no excuse.
Applying for awards, what's funny, too, is people also trying to get jobs using these techniques. Like, there's someone the other day that read on page 77. I know this because I looked at it the other day. It's like, hey, I'm trying to get a job. I'm like, yeah, well, your resume looks the exact same as everyone else. And the problem is that it shows that you have experience, absolutely, but it doesn't show that you are creative, which is what you are applying for is a creative position. And so, yes, you have experience, which is great, but how is someone going to know that you're creative when all you have is a bunch of text on a page? And so I when I worked in TV news, I remember that people would send in tapes, which is basically a digital, like a VHS tape or a DVD of their sizzle reel, which is like a compilation of their best work. Guess what? They all look the same. Hi, I'm so-and-so on the scene of this. Hi. So breaking news, blah, 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 blah. You watch 100 of these, they all look the same. They all look the same. So what are you going to do to dazzle the people who are consuming that, right? And so if you want someone to see you, there's a couple of things that you can do. I would send a handwritten card to them before you actually apply and say, hey, and find out whoever that person is. And you could, this doesn't just have to be for getting a job. This could be for getting any new business, whatever. Finding a girl, a guy, whatever. Send them a handwritten card days before you actually apply and say, hey, hiring person, I look forward to working with you in the future. I'm sending in my resume in a few days. I guarantee you're the only one who does that. But then when they get your resume, they're like, I already like this person. If you have some money to spend on it, buy the company some pizza. So there's a person where I live that read this book, read Anomaly, read page 77, and bought the company that he wants to work at a bunch of pizzas, and now that company is looking at him. They post about it. They posted about it too. They're like, hey, like if you want to get someone's attention, buy the company pizza. And I saw that online. I didn't know it was happening, but I know that I wrote that. And so I started asking both of them, the company and the person. I was like, wait a second. This happened. Did you do this because you read this on page 77 of Anomaly? And that he was like, yeah. And I was like, this is amazing. Now, I don't know if he's going to get the job. I hope he gets the job, I guess. But like, yeah, page 77 under handwritten cards, chapter 19. I think it's incredible that you could spend $40 just to be a little different because everyone else is doing the exact same thing. Here's my resume. Here's my cover letter. Again, it's being seen, right? You still might lose. But if you want someone to get to see you for a little bit more time, do something that will get recognized. A handwritten card, buy some pizzas, buy a cookie text, whatever it is, do something that most people won't do.
And, you know, you're dead on because I remember eons ago while I worked as HR manager, it was something that very rarely have I ever seen. I've had one person do it, but it was something that I would do when I was fresh out of college trying to apply for a job as well. You know, after you have that interview, you send a handwritten note, and you personally send it to every person that was either on the interview panel or if you were just interviewed by one person, you send that. And I remember every job that I actually got, they would mention, you know, that handwritten letter. We were impressed. You sent a handwritten letter because no one did it. And then when I got into the HR manager seat, it's like, yeah, no one does that. So, my goodness. It's like
but we get lazy. Most people are lazy.
Yeah.
Anomaly is basically this, right? Buy the book, get the audio book, consume it. But at the end of the day, it's this. Don't be lazy. If you're lazy, you will
lose. Absolutely.
And then you cannot complain about why someone else got the opportunity that you didn't. It's because they weren't lazy like you were.
Well.
I mean, that's it. There was another guy who got a job, and he went and got interviewed by two people. And he said, what should I do? Should I send one card? Should I send two? I said, send two. Because one of them, if you send it to one, it's not just send two, right? It's not that hard. It's an extra dollar, and you get to send it to two people, get to see it and talk about you in a positive way. And if you don't have the money, then only send one. That's fine. But, like, he did that. He got the job. And so these little things, this stuff that takes, what, 3 minutes to write a handwritten card and $0.50 cents in a stamp. And I bought a box of 200 handwritten cards, little notes, and that was $17 on Amazon. So not a lot of money is the answer to the story. And a huge impact is what happens. And the cards don't have to be crazy. It's, hey, so-and-so, thanks for meeting with me. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to an ongoing relationship. Sign it, send it, deliver it, stamp it, win it.
Love it. And of course,
love it.
We're going to have the links again. We're going to have the links for Anomaly because you really have to give this book. And a matter of fact, we will also have the link. I told you there was going to be a giveaway at the end of this, but what we'll do is we'll actually have a link for those that goes right to Zach's special website where you can get the first chapter of Anomaly for free and read some of the juicy tidbits that we've been talking about on air. But
ooh, juicy.
Before I let you go, yeah, they're real juicy. I mean, these are like, honest to God, thousands of dollars worth of information that could totally change the profitability of your business. And really, you know, people say cute little things on the back of their book covers, but a lot of times they really don't deliver. This delivers and then some. So it's just amazing what you put together. Just really amazing what you put together. But before we let you go.
Did you want
know,
me to write that check for you now or later?
Yes. I think you can start the first installment. We'll talk about the big overarching one, but the first installment, we can start that. But I want you to tell them the story because this is so important. Maybe not. It is a joke. It is a joke. But I want you to share with them, and he was my personal favorite, so I thought it was too cool it was in the book, the Michael Phelps story, because it's something that he did as an Olympic swimmer to have an advantage over his competition and win. And this is one simple technique that if you're winning, you're doing, and if you're not, that's why.
So my favorite commercial of all time is an Under Armour ad for Michael Phelps, and I believe it's for his last Olympics. And
yeah.
It is him basically doing all this work that no one else sees. So him working at night, early in the morning,
yeah,
doing crazy massage stuff, working out insane amount, eating insane amount of food. And the tagline of the whole campaign is, it's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light. And I think the world we live in right now, people think that it's what you do in the light that puts you in the light. And to me, that's just backwards. It's like, do the things that no one else sees, not the whole
yes.
world sees, and that will put you in the light. And I like the Michael Phelps campaign really means it really hits home because people constantly are like, hey, how are these things happening? It's because we don't necessarily see you doing them online. And I'm like, well, it's because I'm not doing them online. I'm actually having real conversations with people, right? I'm actually messaging people and calling people and having conversations with people that no one else sees, right?
Right.
And so that type of stuff, I think we're led to believe that, hey, post this thing on Facebook and you're going to see these amazing things. And that might happen to some people. But for me, the things that I have seen do well are when you take those relationships that you might have created online and actually take them to the DMs, to the one-on-one levels, so that you can actually have real conversations with people. And I think that's very, very powerful. And so there's a part where Michael Phelps, his coach was like, hey, I want you to start working out on Sundays. And people are like, oh, it's like one extra workout a week. Are you cool with that? And Michael Phelps was like, yeah, I'm in, let's do it. And so most other swimmers swim, I guess, 6 days a week. And Michael Phelps was like, no, I'm gonna work out this seventh day a week. And so at the end of a calendar year, he had 52 more workouts than everyone else, where most people weren't working out that day or they were doing something different. And so we look at these things as, I can't do that. I have 52 more workouts, 52 more calls, 52 more conversations.
Right.
That's too many. It's just one more workout a week. Right? The Ironman race I did a few weeks ago, people were like, I can't believe you did that. Yeah, but it was like thousands of one-hour workouts. That's what got me
yeah.
to it, right? And so
that makes sense.
It's a bunch of those little things. And so if you do a bunch of little things, they lead to making those big things a heck of a lot easier. I'm not saying that race wasn't easy. It was absolutely difficult. It was incredibly painful. However, had I just day one gone into that and been like, oh, I'm going to do this, you know, crazy Ironman race, which is a mile swim, 56 bike, and a 13.1-mile run. Had I just on day one been like, yeah, I'm going to go do this, that's not going to happen. But because I did a bunch of baby steps to get there, it made all of that a lot easier on game day, if you will. And so by dissecting it that way and realizing, okay, like I might not be good at sales right now, but what can I do to improve that? I might not be good at communication right now, but what are some baby steps that I can do along the way to realize that I'm getting better at this? And so when I think about how I speak, I think back on how long I have been speaking, right? I was a swim coach for a long time, 9 years as a swim coach. I was talking in front of people all those 9 years in college, in TV. In the early 2010s, I started doing live video online. All of those things add up so that when I'm talking here, I can articulate something a lot better than someone who's like, well, I get nervous when I do that. I'm like, yeah, so do I. But I have so much experience in doing that now that it makes it easier because I've done it so many times. So do a bunch of little things.
I love it. Exactly. So all of this great information, I'm going to say once again, you need to get the book Anomaly. And I will say, unlike a lot of books I read, this is one that I actually will read over and over, not because it's complicated, but because it's just information that you always want to be benchmarking, making sure you're doing. And if you have different levels of progress with what you're successfully executing, then there's other parts that you want to go back over and make sure I'm launching into that. Am I straying away from that? Or am I staying, you know, to this formula and doing some of these other creative things that Zach is mentioning? So, Mr. Zach Miller with the K and not an H, where can they get in contact with you?
At Zach Miller Says Everywhere, so Z-A-C-K Miller Says, S-A-Y-S, is all my social handles. It's also the website, so ZachMillerSays.com. That's the best place if you guys are interested. You can find the book on any of those platforms as well. And another thing that I think is really important about what you just said is when I wrote Anomaly, I didn't want to write it. I wanted to write it to be evergreen, so meaning hopefully the content will be as relevant as possible for as long as possible. And so there's a lot of things that say, here's how to win this Google ad today. Here's how to win this Facebook ad today. I don't even think there's anything about stuff like that in there. It's all about how to build, you know, lifelong relationships with people by using the tools that are available. And I think that's really, really important. So if a tool changes along the way, it's okay because you know the technique to use, the strategy to use on whatever that tool is. And so when I wrote it, almost 2 years ago, 18 months ago, Facebook Live was like the biggest thing where you could get a ton of exposure from something like that. And here, 18 months later, still big, it's just not getting the love that it once was. And so that's why I think it's important to have something, a roadmap like Anomaly that isn't so focused on here's the tool that you need to use right now and here's how to use it. It's more like here's a strategy on how to win no matter the tool. But people can find me at Zach Miller Says Everywhere, Z-A-C-K, not an H, Z-A-C-K, Miller Says, website ZachMillerSays.com, and that's it. Podcast as well, everything Zach Miller Says.
Yeah.
I think that's important from a continuity standpoint. It's just, you only got to say it once. You know, I don't have to say it's Zach underscore 4432 Miller under, don't go to that because I don't know that's a page. Zach Miller Says across the board. And if you don't do that for yourself, you should do that. Make all of your handles the same.
Exactly. So see, he even gives you a tip in his contact information. So you can't lose with that. But Zach, I just thank you for this time. This has been awesome. Love all the tidbits you're sharing with our listeners. And definitely, like I said, they will be able to go on the page and get that link to actually contact you, but also get the link so they can get that free download of the first chapter to get them started. And just a little tidbit, you know, Amazon Prime, you can have the book here most times less than a day or at least one business day. So you can start reading the download and then get your hands on the physical copy plus the ebook. Trust me, you're going to want all of them and the audiobook. So,
I personally love the audio. So if you like my comments here, you'll love it for 6 hours.
You know, there's no comment I can say about that. I mean, What did you accept when you saw
jokes
the profile
in it
pic?
Too. It's a great audiobook.
See, and you know what? We expect nothing less. So that's too awesome. So get all of them, and that way you can listen, you can read. Trust me, you're going to want a highlighter because you're going to want to highlight things and take your own notes and just make sure that you're staying on track and you're applying this to your business and your brand. So Zach Miller with the K and not an H, thank you so much, and have an awesome rest of your day.
Have a joyful day. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. And there you have it. That's the close of the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show. I do want to remind you that we did a little twist this month because of the holiday. But we invite you to join us back. It will be the first and third Thursday always of each month. And I have a couple surprises. They're so big, in fact, that I want to advertise it now. But I will tell you, on our next episode, I want to introduce you to one of our radio show's new hosts and new co-hosts. And in all seriousness, we will be taking a very special look at something. One of the things is that there are some personal things that often hold us back in our businesses. There's a lot of us who have went through certain experiences, certain traumas, certain things, and some people don't realize the fact that it's really still having an impact in what you do, your confidence, your belief in yourself. And at the end of the day, everything goes back to your mindset. You will achieve what you actually believe. So what we are going to do on the first Thursday next month is we're going to talk about how to unlock who you are on the inside so you can truly shine on the outside. And we're going to be addressing some entrepreneurs who have gone through things such as domestic violence, who have gone through things that even to this day, they're overcoming things like post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they have had to have very stressful careers. And how do they balance that with taking care of their families but still having enough confidence and faith to launch a successful business? So join us next month, first Thursday of the month, and if you pay attention to the Entrepreneurs Lounge social media pages, I will slowly introduce to you or give you a sneak peek at one of our new hosts and co-hosts coming up. So with that being said, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and have an awesome time from the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Entrepreneurs Lounge, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. Make sure you stay tuned to our Facebook page and thejoyguru.net for show updates, announcements, and to learn how you can be a guest on our show.